Blog Talk Radio.
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place. I feel His anointing strong here. If you might have been expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. Whether you're watching us through the networks, open your spirit to receive. This song is entitled Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I love you. You guide me all things.
Come on. Amen, amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Great is the God of our salvation, the God, our creator. We are so excited for what God is revealing to us in this season through this work of literary simplicity. And we are grateful that you have joined us this morning on Blog Talk Radio. Probably not much else you can do this morning with such a beautiful scenery of snow. Yes, the overseer is very happy. And so we want to get right into the power, the creative power of God. And we see that with the snow. We see it with the wind. And where does it come from? It comes from the God of creation. And we have to understand he has declared it to be so. I came across this scripture that's really blessing me, and I want to bless you with it because I want you to understand some things about who you are, who we are in God Almighty. It says, for the Lord of hosts has decided land, and who can annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? That's the Amplified version of Isaiah 14 and 27. And I'm going to read to you the new version, NASB type version. And because I want us to understand, this comes after God has declared some things about nations, not just people. Nations of people. He has declared it. And so after he made this declaration, some judgment, some blessing, some warning, he then says, the Lord of hosts has sworn an oath saying, just as I have intended, so it has certainly happened. And just as I planned, so it will stand. And it lets us know, as he has said it, as he has planned and purposed it, that who can turn the hand of God back? Nobody. This is God's plan for the earth and for mankind through the salvation of Jesus Christ, to understand that this is the authority that we carry. This is a very powerful authority. But this authority only comes when we understand what it means, when we understand the God that created. In that song, Awesome Wonder, we have to stand in awe of what he has done. We have to respect and reverence the plan and the purpose of God, and not try to dilute it or limit it by our own understanding, but rather seek a revelation. And he starts his book in Genesis. And I believe we keep going back to Genesis so that as we read it, and we read it for years, some 20, 30, some 40, some 50 years, you have read, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. But until we understand the creative power that he was communicating to us, and understand that through Jesus Christ, we have that same greatest power in our mouth, our voice, our words. And he spoke it, and it came into being. And so this was the beautiful part of this creative power that's in us. And well, that's God, and God can do that. He can sit on the crest of creation and say, let there be, and all these things that never was came into being. There's a couple of things about what happened when he said that. First, he did it in order. He did it in a process. And he's God. He could have said everything happened and it would happen. But he wanted us to see the creative power is a process, and it builds upon each thing that has been created. So your faith has to come by hearing, as you hear and get revelation to the word of God and then from glory to glory to glory, you receive that fuller understanding. And so as we see his creation process, we can understand everything he shares with us is for us to learn something about him. And once we learn it about him, we will understand it about ourselves. And so we are so used to being without power, without a word, without say. I saw a special regarding generational wealth and why the black race has this deficit in this area is because of what we've heard about ourselves. It's what we have come to believe about ourselves because someone told that to us and said it to us and treated us with those words, even though they may have not uttered them literally, their actions communicated them to us in a very real way and got us into a mindset of poverty. And God is letting us know not only are we not poor, we have the riches we sit in heavenly places. We have the riches and the blessings that are necessary for every assignment that God would have on us. And more than that, every plan, and we say that, I know the plans you have for me, that I prosper and be in good health. And we say that, but I don't think we understand and believe it by faith and then act on it as though it exists before we could actually see it. And that's one of the things that happened in creation. When he created each one of these levels of physical reality for us, as he created the different levels, when you look, you didn't necessarily see all the plants that he had planted. He put it in the earth as its seed, and the only place he allowed it to come up immediately was the garden. And so the garden was full grown, but the rest of the earth was unfolding. And so we have to understand there's a place that we hide in God that's full grown. But everything around us is still growing, but we have to believe that the seed is in there. We have to speak to that seed because he told Adam to tend the land. You're in charge. Your words, what comes out of your mouth, you're establishing. You'll give them their name. They'll know who you are. You have authority over them. They'll do what you say. And so he's showing us how that this creative process with our words, this creating things with our words is a process. And as we believe in the process, as we understand the power and the authority that's behind the process, and remember Isaiah 14, he said, if I plan it, it will be. If I purpose it, it will happen. And if he plans and he purposes that we prosper and be in good health, he has said by himself, it will happen. I planned it. I said it. It's done. And so we have to get to a place where we live like it's done, whether we see it or not. And one of the ways we live like it's done is by releasing the word of it being done. And that's so that we can constantly tell ourselves, tear down the lies that were told to us about our lack of worth and put instead the truth of who we are in God. We have that power, and we will hear it as we repeat the word of God into our circumstances, into our living, into our daily interaction with people. I was in a meeting, and some individuals said something. They said a word that I don't agree with. As Christians, look, it's got nothing to do with what we do. And it was a joke for them. And I didn't want to, but they knew I was going to because they even said, overseer, And it's like, yeah, that's foolish, Justin. And the Bible says, don't do it. You know why? Because the power of your office you released in that garbage. So you gave the enemy a weapon against who you were talking to. But we did, and I just thank God. I thank God for his revelation and for his truth. Because what I then had to do that wasn't popular and it wasn't, you know, I would say the place to do it, but it was because that was released. I had to pray a word curse over that. Call it back, you know, renounce it. Let it know you can't rule and reign in this environment because I will release the word of God. The truth says this. The Bible says this. God wants us to understand this. And so sometimes we sabotage our own growth and development all in the name of, you know, I was just kidding, or, you know, I was just, you know, fooling around. We can't afford to fool around. We're in a time where the enemy understands, yeah, y'all fool around, because every time you fool around, you're giving me a portal into your process. You're giving me the authority just like Adam did. We don't want to give no more authority. None. One of the things that Apostle said she wanted to do with communion, which I think is awesome, because that's what this teaching is telling us. Remember what has been done. Understand why it has been done. And that's what she wanted to do for communion. So she wants everybody to come up with an instrument and make a stripe, a slice in the bread, the body of Christ, to demonstrate. Every time foolish Justin, that's what we're doing. And that's what we've just done. We put another, cut, if you will, all right, on the body of Christ. Literally, you know, he's crucified. And so when we do these things, we'll be more mindful of what we do because we get an illustration of what it looks like in heaven. We get a God's eye view, and he's not playing. He is not playing. He didn't play, and he doesn't want us to play with the sacrifice of his holy son. He wants us to get it, you know, get it so that we will have life and have it abundantly. And how do we have it abundantly? And we think about that, and you think, oh, I have everything I need. No, we will have life according to heaven's criteria. That's the abundance. And so the more of Christ released in the world around us, then that's when life becomes abundant. That's when life becomes living. This is not abundant life when you're at a place and you're afraid because of what you've heard might happen in crime and the wickedness of man and all of these things. The abundant life is knowing that we do have authority, that our words have power, and we may not see it, but we can create it and release it because the Lord said, the Bible said, that with I hope that everybody still hears me. I don't know what that is, but the earth, it says, and I'm still going to say it, the Bible says that when the knowledge of God fills the earth, when the knowledge of God fills the earth, that's the abundant life. And the knowledge of God will fill the earth when we release that knowledge in our living, in our lifestyle. And we have to know now, we have to know God, and that God that we don't know, we have to get to know because we need to release the fullness of him, not just the partial that we know, and then we have diluted it with our own understanding and our own desire and our own insight. And so this creative power is what we're understanding how to handle. And so it's just as any other weapon that we're given, we have to learn how to use it. So in our second chapter, the creative power in you starts with the man was created in the image of God and his likeness. There was creative power that flowed out of the mouth of God, and we were created in the image of God. Then according to Scripture and what Jesus said, we have the same ability dwelling and residing on the inside of us. And Adam gave man's authority over the Satan, but Jesus got that authority back. He was born of a virgin. And so it starts to talk about this virgin birth. And the fact that we believe it, okay, that we have faith in it, and it is one of the things that we have released in the earth realm, because we tell people that Jesus was born of a virgin. I never looked at it completely. He said it, so I believed it. So now we're going back, and he's taking us to the very, very fundamental, and he's opening it up to the fact that because Mary agreed with the angels, she heard what heaven said, and she agreed with it, and then she said out of her mouth, "Be it as you have said." So she agreed with God. And just as when we agree with God, then that creative power that God has is released through us. So how did it get released through us? She became pregnant. She don't know how, but she knows she did. And when she asked him, he told her the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you. She may not have understood, you know, we're talking, you know, 200, 3,000 years ago. And what does that mean? All she knows is I haven't been with anybody, but now I'm pregnant. And yet that was a truth that we had to believe, even though we didn't see it and we don't understand it. But we believed it for our salvation. So we had a place where we believed it, we heard it. We heard it, and then we believed it, and then we acted upon it by uniting with Christ, understanding he was sinless. He is sinless, you know, because he was not born. He was born of a virgin. She agreed with the word, and I'm not saying she created, but she released him in the earth realm, because other than that, God knew he had to find. He doesn't do anything without going through mankind. And in order to go through man, man must agree with him. But in order to agree with him, you got to know who he is and have faith in who he is, so that when you agree with him, you surrender to him. And that's why I love that song, you know, Awesome Wonder. We can't do anything but bow and surrender. You know, when we actually remember and look at what God has done and how he has done it. And so when we believe that, and we believed and agreed on that for salvation, and we know we got that. We got that. We holding on to that. That is a firm faith that we have. They got a commercial on TV now that says, "Are you sure you will go, or do you know where you'll go? Are you sure you will go to heaven?" And every time it comes on, I go, "Yep. And I'm done, you know, I'm good." Now, there may be people that may say, "Well, you know, if I do this and this and then, and maybe," and, you know. No, the answer for me is yes, unequivocally. Christ did it, I believed it, and therefore it is, I don't see it, I'm not in heaven now, even though he tells me I am. I believe that he is, so I believe I have access to these things, and I believe they will come forth just like the process of creation. It's in there. It's planted in there. I am there. I am that seed in the ground is a tree, whether it looks like a tree or not. That seed, acorn or whatever, will grow an acorn tree. That is a tree. It looks like that stage of a tree, but it is a tree. And so when we see that, when we when we can break down the process, we're able to embrace the steps and the stages of that process because of the faith and the revelation that we have in the processor, which is God. And so observing him, one of the things I believe he shared with me was the fact that when Adam was given authority, and remember where he was, it had grown up so that it provided a place for him to live and to dwell and gave him purpose. So God had a plan for Adam, and he had a purpose for Adam, so he created everything to fulfill that plan and that purpose. And even when Adam messed it up, God still had another part of this plan that he was able to release in the process to bring Adam back to the original newness, that new creature. And we're going to talk about that new creature. The book shares about it. So as we understand these aspects of our spiritual growth and development, we will understand the power that's in our tongue, that's in our mouth, that's in the words that we say, because we understand where it comes from, how it is generated, what is the guarantee of it, what is the promise that has to be fulfilled through it. We start to understand that, and it becomes a no-brainer. You know, it becomes a fully persuaded type of event that we are experiencing that we build upon. And as we build upon, our lifestyle changes, our lifestyle transforms, and it looks like Christ. And then we are, as we go forth, we are released in the earth realm so that the knowledge of God will fill the earth, goes from one place to another. One of the things that the candidates are doing, and they're all over the world. So as this knowledge becomes ordained on them, and they release it in every part of the world they're in, and right now a lot of them are in that part of the world that are in chaos, but they're going to release the knowledge of God in countries that do not honor God so that they will understand there is a God, and then there will be peace. There will be peace in their hearts. It may not be peace in the world, but it will be peace in their heart. And then they will start living the abundant life purely because God sent Jesus to do that. And as we hide in him, that's where we are. And so we look at the next portion of today's lesson where he goes into 1 Peter 1:3 and says that God's word says that born again, not of corrupt seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So because God said it, and he said it, then we have to receive the revelation of the power of the word. He's telling us now that some of the characteristics of the word is it's going to abide. That means it's going to stand. And then he tells you, and it's going to stand forever, and it lives. So it's not just a word in the book. It is a living word, and it abides forever, and it comes out of the mouth of God. God's mouth, just as the world was created, God made this declaration of who we are in Christ. We are born again, a process we will never fully medically explain, but we can spiritually understand it. And that's what he's telling us in this. So now this seed that that's come out of the is no longer corrupt by what Adam did in the garden. But now there's a seed planted from Jesus Christ. And that seed, him, is incorruptible. And it shows it through his life and our faith in the fact that he lived without sin. And because of that, his sacrifice was able to cover mine. And so the word of God implanted in our spirit causes us to become new creatures. That's just like that seed is born in the womb and then it comes forth. And it never existed before. And now it is born again of the spirit of the living God. And it will live forever. And I think that that's the part, the rebirth of the human spirit took place because the word of God lodged in your spirit. It caused us to act upon the word, and we were born again. We allowed that word to create new us, just as it created the world. We became a new creature. We were once sinners, but now we are born again, and the righteousness of God, fully able to stand in the presence of the Father. In holy boldness and say, Father, I come to you. Now, I felt that this was very, very interesting. And he talks about how we talk to our fathers, how we pray. And he says to understand this, the fact that we're born again, incorruptible, in Christ, eternally, forever. And it's in us, just as the world is here. It has abounds. It has existed since God said it was to exist, and it will continue until God said it is not to exist any longer. And then he'll create a new one. But one of the things it's shared, and we've heard scripture, you know, that I go boldly before the throne of God to receive that I need in time of trouble, and you know, things of that nature. We know those scriptures. And so now I think a fuller understanding of those scriptures are, you know, the authors share, you know, that some prayers are, they call it crawling around in dust, as though we're still unworthy. In Christ, we are. To say we're not when we're in Christ is to not believe what the word says about us being in Christ. And if that's the case, then we do have we have trouble with our identity in Christ because we don't understand, because we really don't believe we're in him. And when we understand what in him means, when we understand we're in him, then we will understand we can go boldly to the throne. You know, we go humbly, but we go boldly. And we don't have to go begging and pleading. You know, all we have to do is ask. He won't withhold any good thing from us. And I didn't, you know, I don't know all of the prayer protocols or whatever. And yet this makes a lot of sense to me. If something you don't get, just like Paul, he didn't get, he prayed, didn't get, and God told him, you know, my grace is sufficient. So he left it alone. He moved on. You know, he still had the issues, but the book shares the fact that when we continue to do that after God has answered us, then we are... When we continue to ask after he has answered us and we continue to beg, we're not understanding the relationship that he wants to have with us. We're not applying the word of God. And the Holy Spirit will give you the word to apply to it. When he says, you know, I won't withhold any good thing from you. When he told them his grace is sufficient. Now, I may not understand. It don't seem good to me, but I know what the word of God says. My plans are you for good and not evil. He said that. He said what our plan and what our purpose is going to happen. Now, I may not recognize it because it doesn't look like what I would plan or purpose or the way I think God's plan or purpose should look. But that's because I don't have that God's eye view, which is why we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith, the faith in the words that God has come out of his mouth and nothing else, no matter what it looks like. So if I'm in the middle of the Hebrew boys, let's see, they were in the middle of the fiery furnace. No matter what it looked like, the grace of God was good for them, and they could rejoice and be exceedingly glad. He said, and if we perish, we perish. You know, and it wasn't that it was no big deal, but it was like, but we trust God. And so we know it's going to be a good thing for us because he said it. It was his word, and his word has that much power. And so did their word, because they established it out of their mouth. They spoke it. They said it. Then the enemy could not touch them. That's like putting the blood of Jesus over the doorpost. Now, it hadn't happened at that end that Son of God was happening. And so it was applied to them even before it happened. I love it because the plan of God, he says, it's going to happen. Now, you may not see it, but it's going to happen. And so what is he telling us? You know, quit looking for something and just listen. Quit looking for it to happen and listen to my words, because whatever comes, the words that come out of my mouth is what establishes a thing, and it establishes until I say nay or yay. So the word planted in our spirit causes us to become new creatures because the word of God declared it, not because I worked hard and I believed in it and now it's going to happen. No, because God said it, it's going to happen. Now, because I believe it, I will see it happen. You know that whole situation, like, you're going to live to see it happen? That song, they love singing that song. I'm going to live to see it happen. And so live to see it happen. I'm going to grow spiritually in Christ to a place where I can see my faith unfolding before me. I can see the earth being established by me releasing the knowledge of God in it, and things are changing. They shift, they change, because now we can see how God created Christ, how the virgin conceived, the fact that it had to come through mankind, had to be done according to God's word, and we have to agree with the word. So now that's another area that sometimes we don't agree with the word because we don't know the word, or we only know a part of the word, but we do not have, the revelation of the word. And that's the beauty of it, because that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He will give us that understanding, just like he gave it to Mary. He gave Mary that understanding to receive what God's word had put in her spirit and in her heart, and then it manifests in her body, and she became pregnant. It was implanted in her womb, and it was a seed, and then it took upon itself flesh, which was the word of God, because she believed that word was in her belly, and the word became flesh. And we said that from John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and, you know, and then the Word became flesh and walked among us. The Word of God became alive, living, walking, and talking on the earth through Mary and through the plan and purpose of God, and Mary agreeing with him, bringing it to pass. So we have to learn that all power is given to us in heaven, given to Christ in heaven and earth. And then he then has given us the assignment of what to do with that power as we go forth in his name. Because he tells us, now you go in my name, you will cast out demons. You speak with new tongues. We won't get into that, but new tongues. Something people haven't heard before. You're going to tell them a way of life. You're going to release this knowledge of God they haven't heard before. This is a new language for them. They often say the LSC has its own language. Well, this is a new language. These are words that have been created from the words of God being manifested in the earth. And so something you just can't describe with the world's words. If there are some things you can only describe through the power of the Spirit of God, and he will release it, and then it grabs your spirit, and you can understand it. But sometimes you can't communicate it with words, but you got it, and you can allow it to flow from you. And so now we go in his name, and it says, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now you see God's power, God's authority delegated back to man. So man is not restored to his original state, no, which he was. He is in better shape than he has ever been. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus Christ. The born-again man is a joint heir with Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. If Jesus is the righteousness of God, then you and me are the righteousness of God in Christ. We need to quit praying and saying, Lord, I'm not worthy. We are, because we understand we're in Christ. And that's who we are. The unworthy was the sinner. We're no longer sinners. We are born again. All things have passed away. Old things have passed away. You know, just like when a person passes away from this life to the next, they no longer exist in this realm. They pass away. And that's how we pass away. That's one of the illustrations of being baptized, is to kind of demonstrate that being buried and then rising again as this new creature in Christ. Just an outward expression of a spiritual experience that we're having. This is our birthing when we're baptized. This is our coming forth from that seed of incorruption. And now we are this new creature. The enemy knows there is power in our words. That is why he tries so desperately to get us to confess doubt, fear, and disbelief. How many times have we allowed those D's, those words that begin with the letter D, to be our conversation? And the enemy loves it. They are the D's words, the devil's words. And they bring about his crew in our life. And they bring this cloud. But do always know that even on the cloudiest of days, the sun is still shining, and it's shining on the other side of the cross. And that sun is not stopped by the clouds, because it may not be as sunny, but it is not black and dark, which means it is still shining. And so we have to rejoice in the light that it does give. So the power of our words, that is why the devil wants to get us into circumstances, tests, situations, so that just like with Job, that Job cursed God. Okay, that was the devil's whole goal, was to do things so horrendously to Job that Job would curse God. So that, and that's that turn to the D's. But he didn't. He didn't. He didn't understand some things to God about it. And once he talked to God about it, because God is a loving father, he was gently rebuked, but he was restored. He communicated, and he comforted him with his truth and with revelation, and he blessed him above where he had all ever been. And so our words must be faith-filled. They must be words based on the Word of God. And when they're not, it's almost like we want to not be able to say them, or our spirit hesitates before it lets it release out of our mouth. We want God to put a watchman over our tongue and a guard over our mouth, so that what is released brings life through the Word of God and according to the Word of God, and not according to our flesh and our emotions. Now, it's not that we can't be emotional, because we can, but we can take those emotions and with our words put the Word of God on them and then give them to God, and then understand that whatever it is, He's got, He said, I got a way of escape for you. I got a way that will help you go, not go that route. Just ask. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And He's on the job, and He's ready to fulfill His ministry in our life. All right. I've been going on. The lines are open. We'll welcome dialogue. I welcome dialogue from you this morning. Good morning, good morning. Hello.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
I'm just enjoying your teaching. I didn't mark it off, but I enjoyed about the creative power, because I have his other book on creative power for healing. So, and it has you to pray the word of God and the situation, for your healing, your salvation, whatever is going on in your body, confessing that. That word over you. It was something in this chapter, but I did not circle it off, that he had said. But I'm just enjoying what you're teaching. And then what he said about confessing that you are unworthy after being born again is contrary to the word. And I've often heard people say, that we're not worthy of, because, of being of the things you may have done in life, or you're not really worthy, but I forget how they say it, but because of his mercy toward us, that's why we receive what we do from him, but we're not really worthy of it. So when I read this, it just helped me to look at it, differently. That's just the trick of the enemy.
Yeah.
Because once, and helping you to see that once you are born again in Christ, and you have God's righteousness, He has caused you to be worthy of.
Yeah.
But the enemy is yet, you know, causing us to think otherwise about oneself. So, again, I'm just enjoying your teaching. I read it, but as I've stated many times, you just seem to just bring it out so clearly and help you to see what, help me to see what I didn't see when I was reading it.
Okay.
I don't know about anybody else. I can only speak for myself. So I'm listening.
Okay. You know, and I appreciate what you're saying. And I believe that in bringing that up, even in the book, in this setting right now, that has been a problem for us. We did think ourselves unworthy. That was, we thought it was humility. There is a what do they call it? A false humility that the enemy, that's religion, that spirit of religion, that the enemy wants us to cloak ourselves with, because when we do that, we are not cloaking ourselves with the righteousness of Christ. So we're denying the work of the cross. And we don't really look at it that way. We think, no, I'm just not worth. No, he made me worthy. So I am worthy. He made me a woman, so I am a woman. He, you know, he made me black, so I am black. It's who I am. And so I believe that once we embrace that, then I'll say the rules of a woman and the rules of blackness, I have to now use to govern my life. And so understanding who you are will cause you to know even what set of rules go to you. So the rules that go to us is the promises of God. The rules that apply to us is the word of God over our life. Those are the words. That's why the prophetic word is so important, and not all prophetic words. But I will say that the word, the prophetic word released by the ambassadorial prophet at Labors for Christ, is a word that we need to take before the Lord for revelation. Because every time it is released, we need to listen to how the apostle establishes it. And our spirit needs to embrace it. And that's how we are transformed and guided in the assignment that are on our life, in the plan and purpose of God. That's how we do it. That's one of the ways, one of the I hate to call it a tool, but, you know, that's one of the things that God has put in place for us to use. So to say that we're unworthy, now remember, we say it out of our mouth. Our mouth has creative power, which means we're going to believe we are unworthy. So we're going to say, you know, I know God said this, but I can't. That's what's going to start ruling and reigning in our lives, the but I can't. And yet he said that whosoever will. So that means you too. But to just get us to believe and to say and to voice that, you know, well, oh, poor me, then poor you will be, because you have declared it. You sabotaged yourself. You have sent a word against yourself, which is the power of the prayers of the other toxic trio, you know, and it's okay, because God's got an answer for that too. So there's a word of prayer that you release, and that word of prayer will do exactly what God needs for it to do in your life, because he has given it to us. And so it's a win-win. We're never in a position as children of God, as in Christ, we're never in a position of losing, ever, because we're in Christ. Christ never lost. Now, according to our eyesight, it looked like he had lost when he endured his passion on that night and that next day, and then that next day and beat and crucified and buried. It looked like, but we're walking by faith. He said, I will rise. He said, it's going to look like the temple is torn down, but it will rise in 3 days. And so we walk by that faith, not by what we see. What we see will just rent our hearts, absolutely, that to view that, to witness that. But then to understand that that's me, what it does is it helps kill me. It helps crucify me to understand that every time they nailed it in, it was because of me. It was because of something I did that needed to be covered, that needed to be redeemed. And he did that redemption in such a powerful way. Anybody else? Great conversation. Well, as it is our habit to do, even though the chapter is small, we did not get through the chapter.
Oops.
Yeah.
I was with the phone on mute. I thought I had taken it off mute. When he said on page 21 about a measure of faith, the measure of faith, I think sometimes, well, I know, because I've said it, you know, and I've heard, you know, other people have said God has given us a measure of faith. But he said, you know, the word said the measure of faith. So I'm glad that was corrected. I said I'll look at it because I've always said a measure of faith. You know, he's given us a measure. But we're saying it wrong.
Right.
He said the measure. And then, like, also when he was talking about, you know, when people come to get saved and then someone says, oh, he ain't gonna, oh, they ain't gonna, you know.
Right.
So he's saying, you know, you've spoken that of that individual. He didn't use that word, but he said, the words of their mouth worked against that person instead of putting faith-filled words that saying God's power is enough to keep them and hold them. God's power will deliver them. They have been deceived by the evil one to tear down what God was trying to build by the words of their mouth. So, that tells you have to watch what you say too, even though that may have been true about individuals, you know, or it appears that way, not to verbalize it, but speak positive. If you're going to say anything, speak positively about the individual.
Amen. I was just going to share that, you know, as it is our reputation, we didn't even get through the first chapter. So we will finish chapter 2 next week, and that's in that measure of faith and that faith-filled conversation, because I think it requires more conversation and sharing. One of the things I do want to apologize is I will make the class a little longer because at 60 minutes it cut off, and those that are on computers they're kicked off. And so I'm going to, I apologize for that. I was just told about it Sunday. So I'm going to try to edit it so it goes at least another half hour. So that, like, this conversation is not being recorded. And when Elder Roberta was talking, excuse me, it had cut her off, so she wasn't recorded. So I do apologize for that. So we're going to fix that. Okay, and then we're going to, excuse me, go forth to let everybody know we're not in service on Sunday. We're on Zoom. We're not going to have you guys come out and be little frozen icicles. And so you can stay home. But feel free to get dressed up and come online and show your face on Zoom. And I'm sorry, no bags this week. Okay, we'll give you an extra next week. So, God bless you. Yeah, that's your
Amen.
Amen. You know, like everybody else, they knew the snow was coming, so they got all kind of snacks because they knew they were hunkering it. So God bless you.
Bless you, too.
Oh, yeah, Apostle said, put your coffee or cocoa or tea so that you can have conversation with Christ Sunday morning on Zoom with LFC the family. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Stay warm and just
love
leave
you,
that
Elder Roberta.
Water.
Love you, too.
Everybody,
hello.
Amen. She love all y'all.
Oh yeah.
I know she's going.
Oh,
amen. Amen. All right. So to the Friday Fellowship of Learners, and yes, enjoy, because it is not going anyway soon. Okay? God bless you.
Bless you.
Elder Deborah, Apostles mad at you.
Don't like the book. It's your fault.
Uh-oh.
No. Alone.
So that's it. Elder Deborah and Elder Roberto.
Yeah,
this is both of them. Amen. You want to leave her tongue and heart alone. Nope.
She says she don't
you
like the book.
You not say that.
I didn't
Hello?
Know what you said, Ms. Paulette.
What you say?
I didn't understand what you said.
Good. Apocrypha was foolish. She should have been. So we got to go and do a word curse over here. Okay.
Okay.
Love you guys.
Oh, wow. Good night. I mean, bye-bye. Overseer.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I mean, Ms. Apollo.
Yep. Amen.
Apostle.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Man.
Yes, pray for your apostle. She don't like snow.
Yes.
She don't like cold. She says she's going to leave us and go to the southern hemisphere.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
so we're going to have to get to her on Zoom. Because I'm not going with her. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Bless you.
Bless you.
Love you all.
Love you, too.